Okay, so if I don't say anything, you gonna say nice things about me again?
I didn't say bad things about you last
time. No, I said nice things.
I said good things.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I want
you. I should take the headphones off.
That's why I want to be quiet. See if you're gonna continue to say nice things about me.
Well, you don't get those too often, so.
Yeah, I know.
But it was actually it was very awkward because I didn't know how to start it.
All right, fine. Since we have to do this the normal way, and we're back.
And we are. We are
episode back. Number what? 14?
Episode this one.
13 or 14?
I'm terrible because I thought I was like 12.
Hold on, let me check.
We should talk to our producers. Yeah. Hey, George.
Yes. I answer the name George.
Bill.
Yes.
We have a large cast here.
Yes, we do. Faking our studios. This is actually episode number 13.
Lucky number 13.
Okay, so Pat, I have a serious question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you prefer Chick-fil-A or Oreos?
I don't like Oreos. I like Oreos and milk sometimes, but...
So if somebody had Chick-fil-A in one hand, Oreos in the other, which would you take?
I'd definitely go with Chick-fil-A.
Okay. Now, is that because you hate the homosexuals?
I don't hate homosexuals, and neither do they.
Really? Because no. I've read stuff on the news, and it just seems like they really hate them.
Yeah, it's interesting that if you say you're against homosexual marriage now, you hate homosexuals. That's how they tie the two together. But if you're for homosexual marriage, does that mean you hate heterosexuals?
No.
It's the same reason.
But the reason the Oreos is because maybe a week or two before all that came out, the Oreo companies, I think it's Kraft, not sure, but they made something for Gay Pride Day or something. It was an Oreo with a whole bunch of different rainbow color fillings. It was a poster. And you know what's funny? And people don't tell you this, is they got flack for that too.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
The thing that anyone... See, Chick-fil-A is... But Chick-fil-A is not actively involved in the, you know... I don't know how to better describe it as the anti-gay movement. They're doing their own business. They were asked the question.
Yeah, but they also do give to candidates or organizations that do support it. I agree. Right. You know, I do not agree with their stance on the homosexual marriage. You know, we've had this discussion on another episode. But at the same time...
Even if you don't agree
with I believe in their right to do it.
Right.
But somebody was telling me that people were boycotting them. But the way they're boycotting them is like the first Saturday of every month they're apparently going to go eat at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it's going to really hurt them.
I don't understand that. I don't know if that's true. It's what a few people have told me. But if not, that's really funny.
That is, yeah, the rainbow, Nabisco.
Nabisco, that's it, not Kraft. Yeah, I boycott Chick-fil-A every morning I work. That's what I eat for breakfast.
Yeah, that's a good boycott. I also boycott grilled chicken.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And grilled fish.
I was boycotting Barks Red Cream Soda earlier.
Yeah, I boycotted some broccoli and cauliflower.
Yeah. Hopefully a lot of people will boycott us.
Yes, that's right. Boycott us. Boycott us. In fact, I guess any press is good press at this point.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
But I do think it's sad. In some small way, please don't hate me for this.
I hate you for other reasons.
Good. Well, we got that down. In some small way, I think that, you know, the Christian church, there are facets of the church that define themselves by the church. They've been very, very, very aggressive. And is it possible that we've brought this upon ourselves? And my question...
Well, not me and you.
My answer, well, the deal is, A, it was coming. B... Look at Christian and marriage. Now, right now, we're raising a big storm now is all this stuff about Christianity and marriage. But for the last 30 or 40 years, Christianity, and I'm speaking us. I remember the New Testament was written to Christians, not to Gentiles. There's a lot of admonition in the New Testament, and I'm admonishing us as a or rebuke even. As a church, the last 30 years, we have dissolved what marriage should be. So, and then suddenly when we see other people saying, hey, you know, we can do that too, and then we get all... triumphant about it. No. This is still a sacred thing. It is interesting. We pulled a magazine article out yesterday downstairs, and I don't know what magazine is in, but now guess who's going out there and getting after equal rights too? Polygamists. Polygamists? No, wrong group.
Which one?
Polygamists, yeah. The multiple marriages.
Okay.
They're saying, well, hey, we should have the right too, and where is the line going to be drawn? Because after this becomes like MLB, are you familiar with MLB?
Martin Luther
Men Love Boys. It's an association.
Oh, NAMBLA.
Huh?
The North American Man Boy Love Association.
And well, now
not to be confused with the North American Marlo Brando lookalikes.
But the fact is that where we draw a line, and then there's going to be bestiality issues.
Okay. No, Pat. But, you cannot draw the line from here to here.
But, Chris, 20 years ago, you'd have said, right now, you cannot put these two together. 20 years ago. No.
Okay. Bestiality and homosexuality, completely different.
Well, I agree. I totally agree. Okay. But we're opening a Pandora's box.
Now, would you like to take a little visit into Chris's world?
Take a visit. Go ahead.
Okay.
Take us in.
Homosexuality, let them do what they want. Polygamists, the more the merrier. That just sounds funny. But no, I mean, as long as they're not getting any additional tax breaks by marrying multiple people, no problem at all. You know, the man-boy love, if both people are consenting adults, not a problem. In this situation, I don't believe both would be consenting adults.
Right, it's not adults. So it's illegal. It's breaking the
law. I don't have a problem. Bestiality.
But again, see,
it's not for me.
What you just labeled, all four of them at one point were illegal. Bestiality is still illegal.
Okay.
There's still statutory rape, which you're fighting tooth and nail legally. They're fighting tooth and nail, and it's all about statutes.
My thing about statutory rape, it's a little more of a gray area for me, you know, because a 40-year-old
with a 13-year-old,
an 8-year-old, mm-hmm. no, you know. A 20-year-old with a 14-year-old, not as no, but...
Still no.
You know, it's a little...
And but the situation with laws are, the line's got to be drawn. And if the line's not drawn, there isn't... If you don't draw a line,
if somebody's forcing somebody else to do something, that's always wrong.
But you know? there's emotional manipulation. That's where statutory comes in, is emotional. Well, at 40 years old, you should be strong enough. Now, is it possible for a 40-year-old
to get... Okay, what about a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Well, they have for the stipulation of the close year ranges, they have stipulations for that.
Louisiana, 17 is a legal adult to make that decision.
Right.
Okay. If somebody is under 17, it's a 2-year age difference.
Right.
So a 16-year-old and 19-year-old would be illegal.
It would be illegal, but however, parents are given the right to decide if they're going to chase after that.
No. Not anymore.
Really?
Yes. Even if the parents don't want to press charges, the state can.
State can.
Yeah.
And I think that is, unfortunately, that's why I say
it's more of a gray area.
That is a situation, and I think the DAs have they will always take objectivity. Hopefully, that's their power. That's the power given to them.
Yeah.
You'd like to see them take it.
They should.
However, it's against the law. I mean, it's against the law. And go back to the law of averages.
Let's go back to Chris's world.
Chris's world.
There's not many laws. You know, but
I like Chris's world. I wish that existed.
Oh, I love Chris's world. It's a great place.
I'm gonna go back before Chris's world. I've said this before. I'm not against. I mean, how can I say this clearly? I'm not against. You said homosexuals let them do what they want.
Let them do what they want.
Polygamists let them do what they want. Mm-hmm. As long as they're not violating the same laws I violate. Like if I kiss my wife out in public and it's a affectionate kiss, I can get charges pressed against me. Oh, yes, you can. It's indecent.
Here's your problem.
Public indecency.
Here's your problem. You cannot define indecency. It would have a very... You probably would not get prosecuted for it because you cannot define what is indecent and obscene.
They prosecute, Chris. But they do.
It's very hard
to do. It is hard.
That's why public nudity is not an obscenity crime. It's not considered obscenity or indecency. It's considered public nudity because it's a specific act.
But they still do try.
I mean, there's lots of things that...
There's a lot of states that are actually now locking down on it now because they're getting tired of seeing... Because they realize if you are in my yard, if you are on my sidewalk, which is not my property, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to cut my grass, and you are acting in a way that is disgusting, that is wrong in front of my children, it's going to cause a fight. So
on your property or off?
It doesn't matter. You have no right to be there doing that.
If it's on your property, it all depends on what they're doing.
On the street.
What are they doing?
If you're on the street. You're on the street and you are groping yourself, you're grabbing your crotch, you're calling to my child and say, hey, you're saying things you shouldn't be saying.
That is a direct thing of this.
Right.
If I'm not bothering anybody else and I kiss Emily, you know, somebody gets offended by it, not my problem. Okay, there are lots of laws.
That's in Chris's world.
I haven't seen these laws. No, that's real world. Okay. I have not seen these laws you're speaking of, but there are a lot of laws on the books, like when we've talked about the cursing laws. Mm. You know, they put them on the books. Somebody gets busted for them. Usually what happens is they'll just pay a fine if it's fine. Yeah. But eventually somebody will come along and say, this is messed up.
Constitutional.
It's unconstitutional. I'm going to fight it. And that's where you draw your lines. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, if the law is two men cannot kiss on the street, I have a problem with that. If it's legal for if a man and a woman to kiss on the street, but illegal for two men, I have a problem with that. You know?
I know you do.
It all lies with common decency.
Common decency. And that's what I was saying before. And as awkward as it would seem, if like how I kiss my wife in public, the fact of the matter is we do not live in a world that is ruled by Christianity. It says that's foolish to try to make that government. Mm-hmm. So what I was getting to before is when you look at a group of people that is fighting what they're fighting for, knowing that the problems arise as they are, you'd like to see people do things to keep themselves from getting unnecessary flack. No, I still like to. That's just common sense in some situations. There are some who want to gloat it. I'm saying is indecent stuff. That's all I say.
Yeah.
And marriage needs to stay what it is. If they want tax breaks, make room for all that, but you can't just redefine words, and I've said it before. That's where I'll stay with. Other than that, I think we're very close.
Yeah.
I think that we've got to get to a point. I will never allow it. Yeah. I'll never say this is okay and acceptable and God's okay with this.
Oh, no, I will not say God's okay with it.
But I can't say that.
I can't hold you to the same standards.
Yeah, I can't say you better act like a Christian.
Yeah.
That's foolishness. And I think that's where the church is really getting themselves in trouble with the homosexual population.
Because if God didn't want people to be able to choose right from wrong, he would have made us all Christians.
Oh, yeah, it would have been robots. There's so much to this. That's a huge Pandora's box itself that unfortunately some Christian groups have tried to take almost a linear, very thin approach on and categorize it as just this. When there's so many studies that it's to the heart of who the person is, and I think the church really needs to be their approach needs to be more from Jesus' approach, and that's love. That's preach the truth, you know. But Jesus never preached at those in the sinners, the lost. He preached at the religious right. Mm-hmm. He preached at the religious. That the religious ones who tried to sanctify themselves. When you looked at the woman caught in the issue of blood, the woman caught in adultery, all right, which in Jewish law was not as bad, but very close, but the same. There's the same death penalty as a homosexual. If you were caught in homosexuality, you were to be killed. If you were caught in adultery, you were to be killed, all right? Mm-hmm. What did Jesus do to that woman?
Loved her.
He loved on her. But he said something. Woman, your sins are forgiven you. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. He set her free. He didn't harshly attack her and act like it's new. We should not be surprised with this. And we've gone into this. I think that it is sad that, however, you have Chick-fil-A being asked their opinion. And if you ask them their opinion, let them have their opinion. The whole situation that happened to your favorite artist of the early 90s, Kirk Cameron. They can't see the face of me. I like Kirk Cameron. But he had the right to answer his question.
No,
the attack that followed was
wrong. I do not dislike Kirk Cameron because of his beliefs. I dislike Kirk Cameron because of the way he explains things.
I like it.
You know, just, I like nobody him. Who's Cameron. Ever talked about, this actually will go into our topic today. Kirk Cameron's view of evolution, okay, is in order for evolution to exist, you would see half duck, half alligator creatures. No, because they would go along different evolutionary lines. It's just the way he tries to explain his point, and that's what bugs me. Like, the way he says another one of his evolution points, the banana proves that God created humans the way we are, because the banana is easy to peel. And you hold it, and it points right towards your mouth. Two things wrong with that statement. One, monkeys eat bananas. Okay? And two, the pineapple. because the banana is very easy to eat.
I should have some theme music or something here. Go ahead. So I haven't read this, what you're talking about. But
there's actually a video. We'll YouTube it later. And I'll post links on the...
So because the banana points at the human?
Yeah, and because it has ridges that match the fingers, and it's easy to peel.
So it can be also made for monkeys. There's not food that we all share.
That's my argument, you know. And you know, the pineapple. We also eat pineapple. Those are not easy to eat at all.
You have to wonder the first person that ate food like that, like a watermelon, you know,
it's like
out there walking around starving to death.
Or I don't know who said it. Like the people who do the mushrooms that grow in the cow poop.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. And they die. But you watched your three best friends die from eating poison ivy. You watched your family die. And there's just, you're starving, and there's this big-looking thing. You're like, do you know how, truthfully, historically, do you know how they've been able to, all these tribal, how they figure out this fruit? They watch what the animals eat. They watch what their cattle eat. Typically, cattle have very, very, very trustable stomachs.
Okay.
So if your cow's munching on watermelon, it's okay for you. Now, does that mean you can gnaw on grass? You can. You really can. You'll find out why they eat grass in a minute, though.
Okay.
You'll clean yourself out real fast. But so back to your point. We're talking about. I don't know if you realize this yet, but today's topic, the question is on. It's multiple, but it's about evolution. So let's ask a question, and so we can get to it.
Dear Haz, how you doing today? I can never say this word. Theological evolution. I sent you the link.
Theological evolution.
Is that how you say it?
Theological evolution.
What do you think about the theory of theological evolution?
Every theory of evolution disagrees with itself. There are multiple theories. It's the theory of evolution has evolved. Now, there are a few different, because I read your link, but I actually have a couple of links of myself. There's a few different theological
Billy Graham, evolution. Good enough for him.
There's a few different. They call the Catholic Church by and large believes that.
And the Catholic Church.
All right. So here's a few different theologicals, and they range in between. The one extreme, the Earth is 6,000 years old. That's it.
I don't get that one.
All right. Well,
is that because they've added up all the years in the Bible?
Yeah, you can go through and you can add. It's about 7,000 years old in time. However, we've talked about this, you and I. We've talked about this in our Bible study, and I think we talked about this on the show.
Actually, I think time, we talked about the first time me and you met.
Time does not begin in the Bible as we know it until verse 3. Verse 1 and verse 2, there's no reference of time. And we'll get back to this. All right, so extreme right, we'll call it, right, for conservative. 7,000 years, bang, that's it. God created every animal is there now. And that's just how it's been going on. Which, I mean, mules defy that. But, mm-hmm. All right. Extreme left. Evolution is correct. God got the system of evolution going.
No, extreme left is there is no God.
Well, we're talking about in theological
evolution.
All right. We're talking about creation and evolution from a theological standpoint. Okay. So extreme left of theological creation and evolution. The extreme left of that is God created this process of evolution from micro energy, and that developed, and God kind of stepped back. And then there's phases in between. There's a belief that the Bible, really, anytime you go to the evolution, you get away from creation, as God is creator, as his story of creation, then you go to where you start taking the Bible, and what you're saying is, the Bible is not an accurately factual book. It is an allegory. Some people say Genesis is an allegory. It's just a story.
I saw that too. Right. A lot of people believe that as well.
But if you read the majority of the people that believe that, they're not Christians. There are some Christians, however, and there are Christians who believe that. Mm-hmm. But when you look into their theology, there's all a bunch of other skeptical stuff. So the first thing I want to say when we start approaching it, first we got to take Paul's approach. On everything Christian, we have to take Paul's approach. And what was his approach?
All things are profitable, but not all things are lawful.
Not with theology.
Actually, no, I never told you that, did I? Because I was talking to my work partner, Shirley. Because in this day and age, you have to say work partner. You can't just say partner.
Yeah. That fits.
So we were talking about it. Oreo. And I was doing some research on the all things are lawful, but all things are probably. I think you got that the wrong way, boss. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to explain it to him. But is that what we're talking about?
Well, no. His theology, his mindset on theology was this. Paul was educated in the time where the documents we search for were first generation, were fresh. We're, you have to think about these conquering kingdoms. When they would conquer each other, they would assume their history. They wouldn't burn it. They'd keep it. These guys had their hands on the most historical documents that we have people spending billions and trillions of dollars trying to find. Almost all of our world history is now, if we step outside of the Bible, which world historians still use and validly use, swear on it, you step outside of it, you're scratching for scrolls, you're scratching for things, you're scratching for knowledge and wisdom. And all you can do is well, Plato said that in the scroll of so-and-so was written this. And so you have to go off of what you know about Plato, which is very little as compared to things. Paul had all of that knowledge. Jews, in Paul's day, they had come under Roman siege, all right? Paul was a Roman and a Jew. Paul was educated in the best of both worlds. So the Romans prided themselves on their historical, all their archives and things. And when Paul talked about his intelligence, he said, for the glory of Christ, I have counted all things as loss. That often gets lost in translation. People usually refer to that as material wealth. Back then, the best of the material wealth was some fields and some cows, stuff like that. True wealth was knowledge, because knowledge sets you apart. That's why when the Pythagorean society murdered the family of the people who leaked the Pythagorean theorem, they killed them all. It was because knowledge was power. It still is in some cases. So Paul's approach to worldly wisdom was, I've seen it all, I've heard it all, and when it comes to Christ, I'm going to start from scratch. And I'm going to learn Christ. And through that, I'm going to learn his hand and his power, and I'll learn things about him. I think both extremes are wrong, left and right. I think that the conservative right backs themselves into a wall that they cannot support. They're standing on ground that they cannot support simply because they're not going to open their mind to scientific fact. The earth is not 7,000 years old. The Bible does not say the earth is 7,000 years old. Never does. Okay? And we have to think about scientists in the year 1000. The scientists that knew everything. They knew it all. What was the shape of the earth?
A triangle.
It was a square, right? It was flat.
Actually.
It was flat. It was flat. The earth was flat. They killed Galileo.
We probably lived on the back of a sea turtle, too.
Yes. Yes. The Bible said it was a sphere. The Bible talks about the corners, but that was all prose. It was the sphere of the earth. Moses said
it was
that.
All prose.
Well, the Bible is written, has a lot of prose in the way it's written.
What do you mean by that?
It's poetry, poetic. There's a lot of figures of speech that to really discern the Bible, you have to get into the time it was written. Like we talked about this on another episode when I will totally obliterate. That was just like we say now, I'm going to kick your bleep. No, you're not. What you're saying, and we all know what you're saying, is I'm going to win. I'm going to knock you out. So the phrase, obliterate them all, when you read a few verses later, where he's giving you instruction what to do with the wives and the children and those who have, is he contradicting himself? No, it was prose and poetry. So when we look at the writing, you have to go back to the time that it was written. Otherwise, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The earth as we know it today, I believe, life as we see life, carbon and oxygen working together and hydrogen and these things, as we the leaves and the trees and the stuff as we know it today, I believe that's 7,000 years old.
So right, are you saying you're one of those gap theory guys?
Oh, yeah. I believe that the earth, and Peter, it refers to Noah's flood as a second flood. When in Genesis, when it doesn't say God came over nothing. He said the earth was void. He hovered over the waters of the deep. There was water. There was stuff here. I believe that our first reference of time is evening and morning in the first day. Okay, it doesn't say 24 hours. It's very now. There are some who take the line of 1,000 years is a day and day. That's foolishness.
No basis
on anything. That's a total different point God was making at that point. But there's no reason to believe that the Earth wasn't moving much slower than it is now. There's no reason not to believe that at all, especially considering the fact, and we talked about this just last year, it was all over Yahoo News and disappeared, but all of the calculations based upon the Big Bang Theory was supposed to be that the universe was slowing down, that it started this huge blast of energy and it's been slower since. Well, now all the calculations are coming back and it's moving faster. The universe is speeding up. So is it quite possible that it was at an absolute draw, which would also make more sense with people living as long as they lived? All right, less tension, less wear and tear and everything. So there's all types of possibilities for time gap, time allowance. I still believe in the creation as it is. So my thing, as I go back to Paul's philosophy when it comes to my mindset of God, and I've got some, God himself spoke about his creation power later on when he was being questioned by early mankind. But I don't have to know how God did it by detail. Okay, we can never.
Okay, that's another point I want to ask. Okay. Is that a fundamental belief as a Christian?
That God created the earth?
Yeah, that God created it.
In 7 days? In six, like, days?
There's a man.
Again, I don't believe you. To believe that God... Is there room for my thought process for someone who thinks that that one day could have taken a million years?
Yes.
There's room. Mm-hmm. But there's not room to me for someone who thinks that God made us from something we are not, when he himself says several times, I formed you from the dust. I made you unique. There's nothing like you, perfectly for you. And I think that that still doesn't make you not a Christian. What makes a person a Christian, Chris?
Accepting Jesus Christ.
As Savior. But where's that written? It's written in the Bible. Nowhere else. All right? And it's backed up in our hearts when we make that decision. We see the truth of this. Okay. But it's written
first. Why, when he says he created us, why can that not be one of those proses you were talking about?
But it can't, because it's not. There's figures of speeches. There's,
why could that not be a figurative speech?
It would have come out at some point in some sort of research, some sort of. But he it's repeated again when you look at.
Okay, so you're saying we know every single thing we need to know about the Bible?
No, I've actually said we don't.
Okay, so
we don't. So then, is there the possibility that exists that is there a possibility? Of course, the possibility exists, but it'd be so minute because again, it's repeated.
As long as there's a possibility, okay. Because here's my thing. I do believe in, I can't say it. Say it for me.
Theological evolution.
Theological evolution.
So let's detail this. What exactly do you believe when it comes to
theology? I believe that God created all life on earth. Mm-hmm. I believe he created us to evolve, mm-hmm. to change,
to adapt.
This could be all part of God's plan.
Yeah. So you don't believe in the days, in the 6 days and then he rested?
Well, we don't know what the day, you know, could have all that have happened. You know, could the evolution to the point where we're man have happened in the 6 days? That's possible. I would say, says so in the Bible, you know, so we're talking about days. But how do you define a day?
He's pretty, I agree with you on. But have you read the creation process here?
Yes.
So he's pretty detailed. That, you know, one day is separation of the light, mm-hmm. and the dark and the waters, and mm-hmm. land comes, which we know as Pangaea. Pangaea. Did I put it on there?
But here's my question. Are you saying God is... Okay. Would you say that God could not have created us to evolve?
He did create us to evolve.
No, but I'm talking about... Are you saying that God could not have made us, you know, using one
from
of these...
From monkeys.
Are you saying he could not?
Yes.
So you're saying...
I'm not saying he could not. I'm saying he did not.
Okay,
I can't say he could not. He can do what he wanted to do.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know you and I don't agree with this. Does this make me respect you or like you any less? No.
Well, you can't get less.
No. I respect you a lot. I like you.
I know. That's why he asks me questions.
You know, but...
That's going to fall.
Yes, it will. But... Shut up. But, I mean, this is what I believe. You know, it's what I was taught from a young age. You know, my dad, you know, it was his theory, you know. And then I found out there was an actual name for it. And it was good enough for Billy Graham, so it's good enough for me.
Billy Graham believes in creation. Where did you get that from?
Read the article and go find the link.
Okay.
They asked him about it, and he said it is entirely possible.
It's entirely possible.
You know, it's entirely possible is good enough for me is what I meant.
So he,
okay. Do I know? Okay. Do you know for a fact how everything happened.
100%. No one does.
Exactly. Do I know for a fact that theological evolution is real? No. I believe in the possibility. Like me and you talking about aliens. You don't believe in aliens? I believe in the possibility.
Well, I believe the possibility of it.
You know? You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to agree with me. But
so, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, again, this is stuff you were taught before Christ, right? This is where, not a forced mindset of change, but as Christians, one of the things you hope to see is the reinventation of looking at worldly knowledge. Wait, let me finish.
Before I was a Christian, while my dad was. Just wanted to end.
No, that's right. But I knew a lot of Christians who poured into me before I was a Christian, too. I disagree with it, some of the stuff they said now. Because I've heard that theory. In fact, I was a follower of that theory. I thought that was actually what I believed for the longest of times. Mm-hmm. And my reason for hold of the creation is because of this. And the way I answered your prose question, because of this. It's repeatedly. It's not, and God uses it as a, did I not? This is what I've done. And he holds to it pretty strongly.
Well, I believe God created
us. So he holds to his creation. In fact, one of the commandments, and it was a commandment that you were to kill someone if they did wrong, was because in 6 days I created this earth, and the seventh day I rested, and so will you. And that's what right.
But here we go. Here's a problem. All right, 6 days. Obviously, you do not believe he means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Well, I believe he means Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but it could have been a very long day.
Exactly.
But it also, let me say this clearly, on live air.
On fake live air. Fake internet radio.
I also believe it could have been done in 6 days because God's all that powerful.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. This is what my thought process is leading to me. Will I change my mind eventually? It's entirely possible. You know? Nothing set in stone with this. As I learn more, the more things grow. But, okay, so you're saying in this quote you're talking about, he said, did I not create you in 6 days? Now, we've already said that 6 days would probably not be 6 days as we know them. Why would the word create have to mean create?
Okay, but what you're saying is an entirely different argument. A figure of speech is different than the definition of word. Obliterate them still meant obliterate. He still wanted you out there annihilate. This meant create. And do a Hebrew study, Chris. Let me ask this one. Do you, when you're studying, when you're looking at research, do you look at both sides? Do you really have you looked at the creation side?
Yes.
Where have you gone to?
All over the internet, talking to people, stuff like that. But here's a question. Okay, let's say you're R.J. Plato. Because that's his name. Mm. You invented
Good
Plato.
Friend of ours.
You created Plato. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, will Plato stay the same? Okay? Or can you take and change Plato? It still does not change the fact that you have created Plato. Mm.
Well, I totally agree that. We don't like to use the word evolve. We don't like the word evolve because it automatically means.
Pokemon gets a bad rap for that.
I'm not a fan of Pokemon either for that.
Yeah. But huge Pokemon. I plan on being a Pokemon master. I'm trying to go to Worlds this year with Pokemon TCG. But
I hate Pokemon. Because they
say the Pokemon evolve. It's not true evolution.
It's actually
more of adaptation, metamorphosis, like butterflies. One of the Pokemon starts off as a Caterpie, then it turns into a Metapod, and then a Butterfree.
Let's stay on this Pokemon of War. The word evolve just simply means to adapt and change too. And we do. We change skin colors, we change hair color, we change hairstyles, we change.
I dyed my hair at McDonald's once.
Here's some interesting facts you might want to consider in your theology. Carbon dating. And scientists know this and they hate it. Why is it only accurate for 7,000 years? Everything over 7,000 years it goes crazy. You're gonna Google it.
I'm Googling it.
Look it up.
I am.
They have so many inaccuracies past 7,000 years. It's basic physics, chemistry.
So we're back to saying the Earth is 7,000.
No. I believe the Earth as we know it. I do believe the Earth as we know it. No, I'm not saying it's 7,000 years. But there's a lot of irregularities that people should research and look up. Have you been to answersingenesis.com?
Yes, a while back, and I completely forgot about the website until just right now.
I have a DVD series by a Christian physicist, archaeologist, multiple things. I wish I had his name in front of me right now. That he can't, he attacks a lot of this stuff head on. And I agree from his perspective. I still believe, when you look at the nature of order, look at the order of Genesis. I'm gonna read Genesis. Can I read it to you?
Go for it.
Look at the way he did it. We're gonna go to the very beginning. So the very first thing that he does is starts with Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Earth was without form. It was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. All right. By the way, you need to talk to a physicist. You're Googling something. Talk to a physicist.
I'm Googling.
I know, but talk to a physicist about the C4, the carbon 14. God saw the light. It was good. Divides the light from the darkness. Calls the light day. Darkness he calls night. Evening and morning, the first day. Now, that is the first day. He separates light from dark. Now, this is very simple phraseology for a very, very serious chemical process, and there's a lot left to interpretation there. Do you agree to that?
Yes.
There's a ton left of there, right? Evening and morning, first day. It's not a reference of 24 hours, and by any means, could it be 24 hours? God's all powerful. If he can raise one from the dead, if he can forgive sins, he can do anything he wants.
Oh, yeah.
So it's about
including making a mountain that he himself cannot move,
and then move it
if he wanted to.
That's right. So here goes day two. Let there be a firmament, a heaven, a sky, an atmosphere in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. So if man was made day one, man would instantly drown. Had no atmosphere for him to breathe, right? If life was made, you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So on day one, separate night and dark. Day two, make the sky. There's an atmosphere now. Now we have an atmosphere. So he calls it heaven. He separates the waters and the clouds. Now we have this. Now we have breathable oxygen. But what happens if man's created and all we have is water? What happens to man?
He would die.
We would drown. We'd die. All right. Day two is atmosphere. Day three. All right. Let the waters under them be gathered into one place and let dry land appear. So dry land comes up. He calls the water sea. Then he says, let that dry ground bring forth grass, trees, fruit, that type of thing. That's day three. Now, if God had made man before he made the trees and the grass, what would have happened?
I wasn't paying attention, sorry. I'm just putting my phone down.
If God made grass, man, before trees and grass, what would have happened? He had walked up on the ground. As soon as he started breathing, he would run out of oxygen.
Yeah.
The atmosphere would have failed. There's a natural order here to his steps.
But he could have made man not dependent on oxygen as well.
But he didn't. He made us dependent for many, many reasons, and he explains that later. It's throughout the Bible. Man was made dependent. Dependent on God from the very beginning. All of his life is dependent. It's all part of the will process. So he does that. Then he says, okay, the fourth day now, he works with starlight. All right, now we have a sun, we have a moon, we have stars. And the exact phrasing, let there be lights in the heavens, in the atmosphere of the earth to divide the day from the night. Let there be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years, which they still are. You know it's the harvest season based upon the constellations in the sky. How you see the stars lets you know what the weather's going on. It's been that way from the beginning. You can tell what's going on by, what is it, red at night, sailor's delight, red in the morning, the devil's spawning, something like that. All right. So evening, morning, fourth day. Now the fifth day, because you've got the plants, the oxygen, the plants are beginning to grow. Now they need a rest. They need rest cycles, right? You need all of this stuff. Now we have a moon. It's pulling the tide. So now we have the ability to have animals, right? Now animals can actually live now, because even before, there's still nothing moving the water, right? So all of water life would die. So then he creates the water life. Let water bring forth everything that has life, and let birds come out. All right. They start. That whole process is the beginning of the fertilization process that we still use. In fact, when we came to America, they were very surprised how the Native Americans would plant everything with a piece of fish. Everything was planted with a piece of fish. Because the best fertilizer in the world is in the ocean. It's in that water. It's in those creeks. And then on the... let me look up here. That's the fifth day. Sixth day. He creates the cattle, the creeping thing, the insects, the beasts, all the lions, all that stuff. And then he creates man. But look what he says, how he created man. God said, at that point, let us now make man in our image after our likeness. He'll have dominion over everything. He created man in his own image. And then in chapter 2, he says how he does it. And chapter 2, it takes a step back and says, he formed him from the ground. Verse 7, God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him the breath of life. Because man was to be special to God. So the argument that says a man could evolve...
What did God create first? Animals or man?
He created animals first. Absolutely.
Okay.
Created fish, then animals.
So once again, why could it not be in prose or whatever you want to call it? You know, animals, then man.
But it would undo, from dust I formed you, from dust you shall return.
No. Okay, God wants to make this cup turn into a bowl. He could use dust. He could use anything. He could breathe life into it.
I still say the standard is a standard, and if this once you start bubbling it up, it's, again, it crosses the line of where is it okay and where is it not? Then where are the Mormons wrong then when they say no? I know it said that I am the only way. I know that's what it said, but isn't it possible? That's the Mormons' biggest standpoint is: isn't it possible that God could have written another testament? So isn't it possible? And the answer is no, it's not. Because he said you can't. And as soon as you can start saying, well, he said that, but that's not what he meant.
It's possible he wrote a book.
No, it's not.
It's possible he could have.
No, he wouldn't have.
Well, what was his exact words that he wanted to write?
Huh?
What was his exact words?
What are you talking about?
When he said, when you're saying he could not
have written. It's in the book of Nephthethim or whatever it's called in the Mormons. And it's out of my mouth. Can I not write one covenant and write another? Can I not do this and do another? And so they're
in our Bible, not the fake Bible.
In our Bible, it says, cursed is the man who adds and takes away from these words. This is it. It's over. It's done. This is it. This is our covenant. This is Jesus on a cross said, it is finished. It's done.
Okay.
It's over. So there's no more to it. And so to say what wasn't finished, there was more redeeming work to do. That's what Joseph Smith said. No, he didn't mean that. There's more. You see, so my deal is not if you believe theological evolution that you are going to hell. That's foolishness, because there still is a lot of room when God, I mean, now God's all powerful, but he's created this world with order and rules, so we can use our, if we're using the mind that he gave us to see how things work, we have to know that on day six, when he created man, when he created beasts of the field, that either he said it and it wasn't instantly so. Right, he said he created them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say there were a ton there, but if there were, they had to have taken a while to go to maturity. They had to have this process by which they came up, and they appeared and they grew and they began to reproduce. I mean, this is a time period. So evening and morning, it's where I myself the best way I can make sense of all this for me is that the day had to be a whole lot longer.
Okay, but I mean, but here's the thing, you know, because it doesn't specifically say it, that's where you draw the issue, correct?
Draw the issue.
That's why you totally don't believe it, because it doesn't say that he did it.
Because he says, I formed you from the... I formed you... Say, now, take that out, then yes.
Okay. But, I mean, nah, I don't even know where I was going with it. I'm tired.
You're tired?
Okay, so my next question. Okay, say, I'm a woman, you're a man.
Okay, that's better.
Okay.
You're an ugly woman.
Oh. But, you know, you love me for who I am.
I do.
Okay, and we're going to get married. Because okay. I'm a woman, you're a man.
Okay, this is...
Straight, heterosexual.
Yes.
All right. I believe... Say the word for me.
Theological.
Theological evolution. I have no idea why I cannot say it. It gets all turned around in my head. And you believe in straight up six-day creationism. Our children are going to want to know what happened. Is it a problem to leave it at God created us?
I think it will be a problem, not that you make, that they make for you. They're gonna want, I have learned with children, mm-hmm. there is no detail they don't want to go into.
Okay.
Okay. They won't venture into it. So does it open a healthy difference of opinion? My wife and I aren't theologically in a perfect agreement on everything. We're in agreement a lot. But the one thing we both agree, and I think this is where all Christians need to come to, is the Bible is the final authority. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we understand everything from it? So
God created us. How, why? We'll see what the Bible says. All right. And just deal with that.
This is how I take it. This is how I see it.
And would it be a problem? Okay. Me as your wife, or whatever. Say we're in a relationship. It doesn't matter. We have a kid. All right? It's the only way this will work. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, do we tell them that this is what your father believes, this is what your mother believes? Or how do you do that? How do you handle
it? I would think, now we're going to the therapy session, but I think that's actually exactly how I would say it. This is how I believe, this is how mom believes, and you get to decide for yourself. And it's important to know this stuff and not allow it to become, because a heated debate. Future,
yeah.
Because it'll be very healthy for the kids to see that, you know, we don't have to agree on everything, and we can still love each other, and we can still respect each other's opinions.
Okay. Well, just for the record, when me and Emily have children, it would be go ask your Uncle Patrick.
And I'll say don't. You know what? I honestly believe, Chris, I hope neither you or I are the same people then as we are today. Oh, yeah. I think we're all works in progress.
We're all evolving.
We're all evolving. That's the name of the episode. We're all evolving. But I as a young Christian, I urge all young Christians to not hold previously learned things so valuable as to not be broken.
Oh, a lot of things I've used to believe have broken. You know, this one hasn't broken yet. And like I say, everything doesn't mean it won't be.
When you say, but listening to you, I mean, I do not see you as that theological evolutionist to the point of just we come. I think you're actually more honest with the fact that you say, I don't know how God did it. In my mind,
oh yeah,
this makes the most sense.
And that's
a big difference than saying what I've heard. I remember I had a physics professor who said, I'm a pastor, I'm a minister at my church, and I'm telling you the Bible's wrong. Oh, okay. So this all powerful God. Let me read you this. I think this is good for anyone. And
Well, while you're pulling it up, I have a little homework for you.
Go ahead.
I need you to find me something, because all I was seeing about the carbon dating is the reason after about 4,000 years old it gets a little wonky is because we don't have any known artifacts.
That's what I was going to tell you, because it's dissipation. That's what I was going
to
say.
Since there's no known artifacts to test it against, we have harder trials.
That was exactly the reason.
You know, there's some trees that are about 9,000 years old because we count the rings. And we can base some stuff off of that, but since we don't know the exact age of the tree, it gets a little wonky.
That was actually the exact answer, because we don't have any standard. And so it becomes, it urges the question.
So what you're saying is pretty much carbon dating can't prove or be disproven.
Right, because once you go past what we have archaeological, anything we have to, it jumps off. So there's been plenty of accounts.
It doesn't mean stuff hasn't been
that old. Yeah. But there's plenty of accounts of them.
I mean, like stuff from Adam and Eve's age, you know, could have been destroyed over time, you know, stuff like that.
There's several accounts of them successfully saying this skull is a skull of a neo da 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 da. It's 129 million years old, to find out it's a 120-year-old pig. It's in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and you're like, but carbon dating proved it. No. You see, carbon dating really only works when you already have an idea of how old it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the standards.
Or if you have something of the same age, you'd count the carbon
you can compare.
Yeah.
So once they start going past that, the margin of error is unreal.
Okay, because I was taking it to mean, you know, back to your 7,000 year, that's why
I do not believe this Earth. I believe this Earth is, and I tell my
children.
That's
why I was all confused.
I believe this Earth is billions of years old.
Does your wife agree with you on that?
Yes.
Okay.
We are agreeing. I believe this Earth is, as the Earth, the substance of the Earth, is billennia. I believe it's, but I believe it's an insignificant argument. And where people want to say it's 7,000 years old, I believe Genesis chapter 1, verse 3.
First time I heard of the gap theory was when I started coming to the church. Nathan was telling me about it.
The gap theory, I'm not necessarily a pro on it as well. I believe me and all my science and all my understanding, I don't have a PhD in the universe and all that stuff, physics and all that. But I have taken physics, and I have my degree is science.
Well, I have 2 months of anatomy and physiology,
You'll know it all.
I know it all.
I think it's possible that the Earth moved slower, much slower than it did now, especially since it's speeding up. And right. that, I mean, so in the end,
or it could move faster back then. Or, you know.
The reason why I really, after thinking about it, jumped at the question is because you asked a much more important question: does the difference make either of us ineligible for heaven? And I think when we get to heaven,
does it make us unequally yoked as well?
As a husband and wife again? Mm-hmm. Well, no. Mm-hmm. Besides
the fact that we're two dudes.
Yeah. Well, or is okay with that? But the fact is, when a husband and wife, as a couple, gets together, one of the things they have to really work on first, one of the first arts they have to master, is the respect, the mutual respect of a difference of opinion does not mean you're wrong. And even if you are wrong,
unless you're not me,
if I know you're wrong, then you have the right to learn.
Okay.
Unless your wrong is illegal or dangerous, and then we really have to get some help here. But if you have a theological viewpoint that is different than mine. Mm-hmm. That you've got to find peace through these things.
So you're guaranteeing me, you Patrick J. Hazard. I'm assuming your middle name is Jack.
D.
I knew that. Daniel. All right, Patrick D. Hazard. I get to heaven. There will not be a test being how did God create everything.
I hope not, because there's still a whole lot left to understand.
Okay, good.
I think there's a book. And our names are written in it, and that's what matters. And I think we're going to spend the rest of eternity.
And we don't want to get blotted out of
that. Yes. We're going to spend the rest of eternity being able to be.
Because if I get blotted out, I'm going back to Catholicism, so I'm getting the waiting line for heaven.
This is what God says to Job. This is what God says to Job, and finally speaks up. The whole book of Job, the first 37 chapters, is Job losing everything because of a test. Satan saying that Job serves God for comfort, and God saying, no, he doesn't. And God giving Job the opportunity to look Satan in the face, even though Job didn't know what was going on, and say, you don't get it. You can take it all from me. I'm still serving my God. It's where we get the phrase, the Lord is given, the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Comes from this story. And so the oldest story in the Bible. It's not the first book, but it's the oldest story. It's probably before Noah. Okay?
But wouldn't the creation be the first story?
Well, creation was by Moses. God does this all through Moses. 1,000 years after creation, this would have been the oldest. Use your question, yes, but this is the oldest personal account.
Okay.
That was personal account.
Okay.
Abraham and all that stuff. Noah even was all later on brought out through the annals. So then Job's friends come in. He's lost everything. He's sick. His friends come in and start accusing him. Obviously, you screwed up. That's why this is happening. You think you're so good, and so Job begins to complain. He gets really upset. He gets upset with God, but he doesn't do what God. He doesn't curse God, but he gets upset at him.
Is it okay to question God?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's faith. Getting mad at God is faith. I wouldn't suggest you go out there and throw a tantrum, but I have. And you know what? He still loves me, and he's forgiven me. In fact, it's in that me getting furious at God, I think, that really drew me close to him. How could you let this happen to me? Because sometimes he answers. All right, and he answers here. Job gets very upset. His friends are just saying, well, obviously, and they're trying to speak on behalf of God, and this is what he starts with. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? That's God's response. Finally, the first thing he says. It's a lot different than what you hear prophets nowadays saying, God says you're like a little fairy. He's going to bring to heaven with wings. Now, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird yourself up. Prepare yourself. For I will ask of you now, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, do you have understanding? I mean, this is how he starts. Who has laid the measures of it? Do you even know? Do you know what the measures are? Has anyone in this world been able to stretch a tape measure around things and tell me where they fit? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, the angels, who told the sea how far they can go? You know, he's going through this analogy breakdown of, I said all these physical forces that we're still learning. That we're still breaking with these neonatic subatomic particles and stuff. When we know it now, we've got it, and it smashes to pieces. God says you'll never have my mind. You'll never. So I don't think there's anything wrong with us trying to figure stuff out and having different approaches, because our experiences make us who we are. Our education makes us who we are. And when your education is very scientific, you're going to think about things a lot different than a person who's very linguistic. Where they get caught up in the writings of stuff, and they don't really go into the how it works. But if you're a how it works it guy, you're going to have a whole lot more questions. Wait a minute. Hold on. It took me 9 months to have a baby. God did that in a day. Then there's a couple things that had to have happened. This is a super miracle, which God is possible of, but he hasn't shown his hand like this. Mm-hmm. Or there's more to this than we know. I want you to look at this too.
Right now?
This is a, right now. This is a article that I printed up.
It's 2005.
In 2000, this is very important.
See, what we don't do is we don't believe anything before Katrina.
Okay. Well, I actually preached on this, and it was a message was
before
talking
or after
about
Katrina.
Huh?
Before or after Katrina?
It was before Katrina. It was actually listen. This is exact worldly wisdom. Okay. This was the big probe that was leaving America that was going to go out into the deepest part of the galaxies. Okay. And it's written here is images reveal Titan secrets by Michael Corin, CNN, Friday, January 14th, 2005. And it's talking about the probe that's being launched. Ultimately, the probe that found out Pluto was not a planet. Okay. This is when it was launched. That is not a major planet. And I've got several things written here, and we're going to post this. I'll put a link to this for you because you can pull it directly from the website. The science, if you go down, the science is for posterity. It is for mankind. Scientists are going to argue as we piece together our place in the universe of how it came to be. It's just the beginning. And as you scroll down, it says, the mission will probably help answer some of the big questions that NASA has in general about the origins and where we all came from, where life came from. Finding living organisms, however, is a remote possibility. It's not out of the question, but it's certainly not the first place I would look. It's really very cold, okay? They're sending this multi-billion dollar project for probabilities, and they had it figured out. As on this multi-billion project made a whole bunch of students, science students, furious. I failed a test because I couldn't remember what Pluto was, the ninth planet.
It's not a planet.
It's not anymore because of this.
He's a dog.
But Pluto was a planet. Man likes to say, I know. That's why I like the question.
Well, it's because
man
we
likes
changed
to say,
what technically but, is a planet now.
But as we discover things, it's a minor planet, but as we discover things in our search for truth, we find out what everything basically
because
on.
Man's knowledge is constantly evolving.
We keep cracking the foundation of our knowledge. Our foundation outside of God is going to bust to pieces. That's why I don't agree with the right either. Because that foundation's not on God. That foundation's on a demand to... No, I'm not wavering. God doesn't ask us to decide for how he did things. He asks us to trust him, and that's it.
That works.
And it.
All right, so that was a pretty good episode, Pat.
It was a good episode.
A lot better than I thought it would be. I thought I was going to have to flip a table, get out of here.
Well, you still can.
All right. Well, actually, I'm going to end it on this. Just remember, for all the Chick-fil-A you don't eat, just means I get to eat more.
Boycott Chick-fil-A.
Boycott us.
Boycott us. As long as your boycott means you're going and eating.
Yes. Wait, don't eat us.
No, that don't taste good.
Listen to us.
Listen.
Boycott us by listening to
us.
Well,
you could chew us like food over the radio.
You could chew on us like knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got
nothing. 504.
264.
Ask one.
Questions at chrisasthehaz.com. Complaints at pat@chrisasthehaz.com. I still use that joke. I love it.
Well, Pat will get you nowhere, so send it. Go ahead, send it. And we always enjoy
Patrick,
you guys.
Patrick, isn't it?
Patrick. Always enjoy people listening to us and hearing what they
actually,
have to say.
I don't like people listening to us. Don't listen to us. That's reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology.
Oh, no, Lord Vader. Please don't.
I am back for another episode.
Please don't put me in carbonite. No. Are you my father?